Sterling Cooper, to say that I am psyched to have you on is a dire understatement. How the hell are you?
I'm fantastic, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Good, man. You know, I had one of my closest friends who happens to be a woman. I got to let you know, I lost my Manosphere card a long time ago. got a few female friends. I don't know what to do with myself.
Sacrilege.
Anathema.
And I have to bless thee.
Right.
Bless the demons.
Right. And she also happens to be one of my business partners. So I got a couple of side hustles I'm working on. So she's actually one of my this is really going to blow your mind. You have to bless me again. She's one of my mentors. I think people, when this finally comes out, people are already shutting this episode off. It's like
canceled.
This guy is not an Argonaut at all. How dare he, you know? But yeah, she was over one day. We were working on some arts and crafts related stuff. And I had one of your videos up. And you were talking about, I don't remember what you were talking about, but it was one of the, you were very passionate about what you were saying. And she leaned in and she said, you know, he's kind of like James Bond.
Right. Well, I'll take the compliment. I'm a big fan of the Bond films, particularly the Connery Bond and the Daniel Craig Bond are my favorites, but I know guys who are basically James Bond, who, like in real life, who are like proficient in firearms and know espionage and that kind of shit. And I am not James Bond. I can guarantee you that. I can play one on camera though. That is something I can do. I can play. I'm a decent enough actor that I can pull one off in a movie if I need to.
Yeah, so you haven't done a James Bond parody yet.
Nah, not yet, but. No, I don't like. I get cast a lot as teacher, doctor, lawyer, is what I get cast a lot as because I'm articulate. So I'm like, in a porno, they need a guy who can sound like he knows big words, and so that's me. And I come in and I say all these big words. Yeah, and I also kind of like playing I tend to play the bad guy as well. In whenever I'm cast in that kind of role, because it's like, I always play the creepy like uncle or like the extortionist like lawyer or you know the dude who's like taking advantage of the poor innocent woman and coercing her and stuff. That's kind of my character. And I'll tell you one thing, like playing bad guys is way more fun anyway.
Yeah.
In good guy roles are so cardboard. They're just like you're in a box of like what you can do, like moral good and stuff. It's like here's your space you can operate in. When you play a bad guy, you can do fucking anything, and so it's a lot more fun and creative to play a bad guy. And I'm not a bad guy in real life, so for me it's also like I get to tap into this kind of dark side of human psychology that I never actually engage in real life because I'm not a psychopath and I'm not like running around trying to coerce people. So you get to sort of play with that aspect of humanity, and I kind of like that part of my job.
Definitely. How did you get involved in the industry?
So I got stuck into porno back in 2017. I did my first ever shoot in Melbourne for a very, very small company. And the way I got that job was basically I'd been working in Australia in Australia for a few years. I'd been working as a high class male companion. So I was servicing wealthy business ladies at nighttime, taking them out for dinner dates, giving them the boyfriend experience and getting paid to, perform the deed back in the hotel room afterwards. And that's legal in Australia, by the way. So I'm not, I'm not breaking any laws. I'm not running around being an international criminal or anything. As cool as that would sound. Not what I'm doing.
You just play one on TV.
I just play one on TV, exactly. And there's a lot of girls in the escorting industry in Australia who also do porn. There's a lot of overlap between those two fields. And I basically hit up a few girls and they were like, hey, you should try doing porn. You'd probably be pretty good at it. And they gave me this dude's contact details. So I cold pitched him. I reached out to him and he gave me a shot. Basically, what I also did was I created like some demo footage with a couple of, with this girl I used to sort of swing with. I created some demo footage, and I cut it up and I put it into a Dropbox folder, and that was part of the pitch I sent the guy. I said, look, here's demo proof that I can do this on camera. Here's proof that I know how to like open up and turn to the camera so you can see what the shot is and stuff. Like, and then I sort of went through and laid out my resume, if it were. I'm like, hey, I've worked as a high class male companion, so I can perform under pressure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the dude was like, this is the most professional application we have ever received from a dude wanting to get into porn. We'll give you a shot. And so he gave me a shot. And then I just leveraged that experience. It's kind of like, here's my first job for a small company. Then I pitch a slightly bigger company and be like, hey, they gave me a shot and here's the proof that I can do the job. Will you give me a shot? He's like, sure. And then I repeat that process again and again and again for slightly bigger companies each time. And then I worked through Australia for like 6 months, and then I leveraged that experience and went to England and worked in England for 6 months. Ended up shooting for Brazzers while I was out there. And then that company liked me enough to fly me out to Europe. They flew me out to Budapest, and I started working in Europe, and I did that for like another 6 months. And then eventually I made my way to America, where I am now.
Okay. Yeah. I had fallen on some hard times a while back, and long story short, it was a one-itis type of deal. I ended up reading The Rational Male, yep. And you know, changed my life. And after I read that, I veered in and I found Rich Cooper. Well, when I found Rich Cooper, you know, I started watching his stuff. I'm like, I love how stoic and no fucks given this guy is. It's just, you know, it's amazing. And then I was, one of his videos came out one night. I think it was one of the live videos, and you were on there. I was like, well, this is a distinguished gentleman. You know, who the hell is this guy? He's got a cool accent, you know, that kind of stuff. And then come to find out, you know, you worked in adult films, and I'm like, Skrr! You know, the record, I don't have the record sound fresh and fit does, but that was more like a dying horse, but you get the idea. And it was like, wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to not talk about porn, not look at porn, not, you know, this is bad. It's bad for you. It's a bad addiction. Yada, da, 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 da. And then, you know, it kind of, oh, and there's the fire truck. I live in a very nice apartment, but I also live very downtown. There's a fire truck every 5 minutes. So, that's how I had first saw you. And I think Rollo was on there at the same time. I think it was all three of y'all. You were talking about some stuff, and I was listening to the things you were saying. And it's like, this guy has multiple layers. This is not a one-dimensional dude. I said, there's more. This guy's job. He's got a whole lot more going on. And then this is, I would say, 2 years later. That's how long I've known about you. I've been watching Rich and Rollo for about 3 years. And I noticed a lot of the things you were talking about, and there, you know, there was a lot of quote unquote Manosphere content, but it was also a lot of men's improvement content. And with that was, you know, not only be careful of the red flags in women, but, you know, be careful about the dangers of pornography. And I know that Rich is kind of like, he takes it's whatever. Just don't get stupid with it approach, you know, because I saw a video earlier today. I do like to research my guests a little bit, but you were talking to a girl. I don't have any idea who she was. I think she was a porn star. She was a porn star.
Probably
a porn star. Because you called her a hoe, you know. And you were talking about the fact that, you know, hoes need to exist. And you included yourself in that. You said, we need to exist. Sex workers need to exist. Because what happens is, if men don't get that fix, they're gonna act the fool. You know, I know how that is. I've been through puberty. I've been through several of them, and I know what it's like to go without. And then there's, you know, there's this whole nofap semen retention. I don't know how much truth is to these guys who have said they've gone 500 days without busting and all this kind of stuff. I don't know how much truth there is to it, but it seems to me like if you're trying to get your act together, you know, when women say, these feminist women say, I want to focus on my career. Okay, great. You're going to end up 40 and on Tinder and nobody's going to give a fuck about you. But men, it's like I always say, women mature at 18 most of the time, and men mature at around 40. You know, sometimes you get lucky late 30s, whatever, but you really get, so men have that ability from 18 to 39 to really get their shit together. And if they're trying to keep the whole dating life at bay, not have to worry about red flags and developing one-itis and all that kind of stuff, because the younger you are, the more prone you are to catching one-itis and things like that. But it seems to me like if that's the route you got to take and you're not getting laid, then you probably need some kind of stimulation. I had a very short stint in my 20s where I was addicted to porn, and it was like, you know what? This is really boring. I'd rather do other things, you know? And a lot of guys don't get to that point. I've known guys who have been addicted to porn and it completely destroyed their lives, worse than any kind of drug would. So coming up out of the rabbit hole, what are your thoughts truly on porn outside of being addicted to it? Like just using it as a fix, maybe on a Sunday in the shower, then it's one and done. What are your thoughts on that as you know, just doing it as a recreational thing?
I ain't got a problem with people like just the same reason. And I actually had an argument with this with a female porn star on Twitter about this a few weeks ago, because she saw some tweet. I'd been on this other podcast. I think his name was King David. I think it was his name. And he's like a Christian dude who's very, very anti-porn. His whole goal is to get dudes off porn and to like get rid of porn addiction and stuff.
Yeah.
And we had a very interesting chat, me and him. We actually saw eye to eye on a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise. Like you said, I'm not this like one dimensional dude. I can have like, you know, I can have a conversation with somebody and not necessarily like, I can respect somebody and not agree with everything they fucking say.
Right.
Like,
right. Being an adult porn star doesn't make you a dumbass.
That seems to be it. But that whole concept seems to be novel these days. You know, it's either like you 100% agree with me or you're against me. I'm like, no, dickhead. Like, relax. Right. But I retweeted something he was saying about, you know, getting dudes off porn addiction. And then she jumped on my ass. She's this older porn star. And she was like, what do you mean? Like, this seems weird. Wouldn't you be out of a job? Blah, blah, blah. And my whole argument is like, look, I can sit around and tell guys like, look, masturbating to porn all the fucking time ain't good for you. But I can still shoot porn and make money off it. Same reason why, like, I can smoke cigars and I know cigars are not good for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to try and run. I'm not running around trying to get them banned. Because I enjoy a cigar here now. I know without doubt that is not a good thing for me to indulge in, but I still enjoy it. And I'm not acting like a jackass smoking like five a day. Right? Same with alcohol. I'm not running around saying like alcohol should be banned, but I know there are alcoholics. I know that some people can't handle it. And I've had periods in my life where alcohol has been like a too big of a distraction. Same way that porn can be for a lot of dudes too. So like, if somebody wants help, if somebody has a problem with porn, I'll be the first one to step in and say, hey man, fucking cut it out. You know, especially if, and I would say like, okay, you have a problem with it under a couple of circumstances. One, you're basically using it all the fucking time. You're using it to like guys will use it to like go to sleep. They can't go to sleep without jerking off or some shit like that. It's a daily thing. Okay, you might start, you probably got a bit of a problem there. Or if your sex life is having problems, as in like, you know, you're facing something like erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, delayed ejaculation, any of these problems in the bedroom with your partner or with your girlfriend or your flings, and like, you also have a porn habit, then I'll be like, that's the first thing I'm going to tell a dude to cut out. The first change I'll tell every dude, if he comes to me with problems like that, the first thing I'll tell him is, okay, cut porn out. Step one is always cut porn out.
Right.
Right. But yeah, if you like most, the same reason that, you know, people can enjoy a drink casually and have a good time with an alcohol doesn't have any effect on them. There's no negative ramifications. People can enjoy porn the same way, and they can even subscribe to like a website, like subscribe to some stuff that I'm on and like help the fund the industry. I ain't got a problem with that.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't have to be so black and white. And in regards to the whole like NoFap semen retention thing, my take on that has always been basically like, it's probably a good thing to not masturbate. You know, if I'm being like, okay, if I'm being like a robot and like saying like, okay, here's the best practice. People aren't robots, you know, but if I was saying here's the best practice guidelines for a dude, which he's probably not going to follow perfectly anyway, because he's not a robot, but it would be, don't masturbate. Like, retain that semen, I guess, until you meet a woman, and then blow the load all over her. You right. know, but it's like, that's kind of been my take with this whole semen retention nofap thing. I do agree with like the whole idea of like don't nofapping, cool, mm-hmm. but like don't you should be busting nuts on the ladies, you know, rather than like I don't think that's a good idea to like not bust nuts if you're having sex and shit and you're retaining that semen for some mystical powers, mm-hmm. like there's a cap to that, you know,
yeah,
like they've even done studies on like the whole nofap thing and like it kept like. Your testosterone levels do increase from semen retention and stuff, but it caps out at like 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, cool. Like get the benefit. I agree. Do it. Get the benefit. And then channel that energy into getting women in your life mm-hmm. or building your business or whatever. But you don't have to be so like autistic about it, mm-hmm. you know? Cause show me, like, and I've had this argument before. Somebody tried to tell me like, oh, Mike Tyson did fucking semen retention and shit.
Oh God.
And I'm like, yeah, okay. He might have done semen retention leading up to a fight, as in a few days before a fight, like seven days or so before a fight. Like I just said, when the testosterone maxes out. But if anyone here has ever read Mike Tyson's biography, you know the guy was slaying pussy left, right, and center. He ain't right. retaining shit,
like, right?
You know. And look at every like show me high level athletes, man, like NBA players, football players. These guys are getting fucking laid, man.
Yeah.
They're not sitting around worried about semen retention. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with like, again, I ain't got a problem. Like the general principle is a good idea. Like, mm-hmm. don't fap to porn. Cool. Take that pent up kind of sexual energy and channel it into meeting the ladies. That's what mm-hmm. it's there for. That's right. the whole point, right?
Yeah.
Same with like cold showers, right? Cold showers are really, really good for you. They're very healthy. Like they produce brown adipose tissue. Like they get your metabolism going, burn off excess body fat. They're great. But when people start getting autistic about this stuff and it's like treating it like it's this magical, like it's the key to success. If you do this thing every day, it's the key to success. No, you still have to do the work, to coin Richard Cooper's phrase.
Yeah.
These things are like tools to help you and help you like maybe get a bit of focus, help you get a little bit of an edge. But you like, I'll show you 1,000 men who've done none of that, who are millionaires.
Yeah.
You know, they've done none of that shit. And it's like this space, of this sort of manosphere, it's like men's self-help space we're in, can get a little bit autistic with some of these things where it's like, these are all like little tools. I look at them like they're little tools in your toolkit, like, okay, cold showers and maybe like nofap or whatever. And they're tools you want to have in your toolkit to help you get that little extra 1%, that little 1%, the 1%. Mm-hmm. And maybe that improves your mood, maybe it improves your hormones, maybe it improves your body composition, maybe it improves your productivity, whatever it is. Like, try it. If it helps you, great. Incorporate it into your life. If it doesn't help you, then discard it and use something else, you know, mm-hmm. like the kind of Jeet Kune Do approach of Bruce Lee, mm-hmm. where it's like, take what you can from other people that is going to actually benefit you and works for you, and discard what doesn't, man. Because it's no cookie cutter answer for like everybody.
Yeah,
it's gonna work, but and ultimately it all comes down, like, no one's gonna do the fucking work for you. So like, you can use all these different tools to help your productivity, but ultimately you still have to do the fucking work.
Yeah, that's something that I absolutely cannot stand anymore about the personal development crowd. It's the same repeated ancient Greek and Stoic quotes, and it, nothing but, you know, look in the mirror and tell yourself you can do it and take your cold showers and drink your black coffee like a fucking psychopath. You know, they want to take away the two things that I still have. And, you know, I've done the cold showers. It was cool, but I did them long enough to realize, you know what? This is not for me. You know, it's not that I'm a pussy because I don't take cold showers and that I don't drink black coffee, but the problem with the personal development crowd is that's pretty much what a lot of them are telling people, is that you're not, none of them tell you that the main thing that you need, and this is why we call this podcast Mission is Legacy, because if you don't have a mission, you don't have shit. You don't have anything. You got to have some kind of, you got to be driven towards something. You know, you can be passionate, you know, passion, whatever. There's all these words and all these, you know, things that may or may not help, that sort of thing, you know, semen retention, cold showers, black coffee, what, you know, what the hell ever, but nobody ever talks about actual, you know, putting in the work. And that's the biggest problem I have with the whole personal development crowd, is that they're charging money to tell people something that they already know, because personal development doesn't work unless you have an idea. If you don't have an idea for a business, then it's just gonna flop. It's not gonna work for you. Like, you can listen to, what's a good example? I would say Gary Vee, as obnoxious as he is. If you have an idea, listening to Gary Vee will help you. Listening to Tony Robbins will help you. Listening to Eric Thomas will help you. But if you don't have an idea for a business or even a job, then it's not going to help you. Like, for me, I was in the fitness industry for 15 years. I still do it on the side, but I went into the finance industry. I figured out that, hey, fitness isn't going to pay. What can I do to get me paid? Oh, I know. The money industry. That's what the finance industry is, the money industry. So I went head first into the money industry. And once you learn how to build a business, you can take that and build. I have experience as a janitor, and I loved being a janitor. I'm a psychopath. I don't need black coffee to be a psychopath. I loved being a janitor. That's the most psychotic thing I've ever heard in my life. But, you know, I have an engineering background. I have all kinds of backgrounds, but I love being a janitor. I don't know why. I could take what I know about starting businesses and marketing and all that kind of stuff, and I could go start a janitorial business right now. That's what I could do. And I could take the things that these gurus are saying, and it would kind of apply. But like you said, I mean, if you're not out there actually moving and doing the work, you know, it's not going to make a difference.
I want to jump in real quick. There's one of my early mentors. I had a couple of early mentors when I first started in my 20s, when I first started being a bit entrepreneurial. So I, prior to porn, I had a multi six figure meal delivery business. Prior to that, I was a chemist. I worked for a pharmaceutical company. I've got a very, very, very background as well. Right.
So not only are you James Bond, you're also Sherlock Holmes.
Well, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, actually, probably more like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Actually,
there you go.
If it's a chemist getting involved there, right? So, one of my early mentors, Craig Ballantyne. He's still around. He does a lot of mentoring stuff.
Yep.
And a gentleman by the name of Simon Black. He runs the Sovereign Man website.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
So the personal friends for a while. Good men, very good men. And they told me in my early 20s, they because you mentioned something there, like you're not going to do anything, you're not going to get anywhere unless you have an idea to execute on. Mm-hmm. And I agree, but the problem that most people have is in coming up with the idea. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they taught me, one of the frames they taught me to look at the world from is, or look at making money from is, people pay money to have their problems solved. So every business is about solving a problem for somebody. So if you can just look for problems to solve, then the ideas are there already. See, because people think when they think about business and entrepreneurship and stuff, they think, oh, I have to come up with the next big invention. I have to come up with the next iPhone, the next, I don't know, fucking electric car, whatever the hell, right? And that's not really the way you want to think about it. The easier way, at least for me, the easier way to think about business was always look for and focus on problems that you have and that you hear other people complaining about.
Yeah.
Whenever you hear people complaining about something, that is an opportunity to solve a problem. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, I hate how long it takes for the pizza delivery guy to get here or some shit. Okay. And then somebody was like, that's a real annoying problem. Uber Eats, bang. Or another example. I hate how much hotels charge. Mm-hmm. All right. Airbnb, bang. You know, these are all just problems. Like, and if you really think about it enough, like every single like product and service is actually solving a problem. Mm-hmm. As weird as, I mean, even something like OnlyFans is technically solving. You can reframe it if you want to solve a problem. The problem it's solving actually is connection.
Yep.
Is intimate connection that men have with women. They don't have any. Yeah. And that's a sad thing to say, but that's what OnlyFans solves. It allows them to interact one-on-one with a beautiful woman with 0% chance of rejection, by the way, as well, which is like the fantasy that it sells too. But everything is like a problem to be solved. And that's, I think, for young guys, that is a good thing for them to focus on. Because if you want to be entrepreneurial, all you got to do is just look for problems to solve. And then people could... Because the other way these guys taught me to look at money is an interesting thing. They taught me to look at money like money is simply condensed time. And so here, I mean, the phrase time is money. That's an old phrase. But here's the way I was taught to look at it. So let's say, for example, my kitchen sink is backed up, right? It's blocked, right? So I could either spend time and energy learning how to fix that myself, right? That's going to take a time investment, right? Or I can pay a plumber who already invested the time and energy to perfect that skill, and I can trade my time, my money for his time. So my time is still free.
Yep.
Right? This is how people exchange, this is why people exchange money. Like, okay, I'm going to pay you for that loaf of bread because the money to it's worth my time to pay you for the loaf of bread instead of growing the wheat, fucking grinding it to milling it down and then baking my own bread myself, you know? So it's like money is always just an exchange of time, really. So that's why another really cool thing, the way to look at money and time is when you start to become financially free, when you start to develop wealth, you actually get more life, which is why making money is so important, I think.
Yep.
Because most of us, the world we're in tries to make us fucking wage slaves. The world we're in tries to make us tax slaves, more importantly. Like the Western world, not even this Western world, the whole world tries to just lock men and women to a degree, but mostly men, into this just fucking workhorse cycle where we're feeding the tax system. So if you can create financial independence, you can create wealth, you literally get more access to not only your own time on planet Earth, like so you're not sitting there and fucking working all day, but you also get to leverage your money to have more experiences than, like, you can have more experiences in like a month than some people have in their entire life when you have money. It's crazy when you start thinking about it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched a video. I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw a video by a guy. He was a millionaire. He was mentored by a billionaire. The billionaire, he went to the billionaire and he said, you know, how can I get right? You know, because the billionaire was stress-free. You know, he was a billionaire first and foremost. And he seemed to have all the time in the world. He wasn't worried about a damn thing, you know, just whatever. I got all these businesses and I, you know, I do what the hell I want. And dude wanted that. And you know, who doesn't? And he went to him and said, hey, how do I be like you? And he's like, okay, well, first of all, how much do you need? And guy said, $1 million a year. So I'm guessing after the billionaire laughed that off, he said, do you know of any kind of busy work you're doing right now? And I think the guy, I don't know what industry the guy worked in, but basically you're looking at like 500 an hour. So whatever he was doing, his average was 500 an hour. It could have been insurance. It could have been whatever he was working in. And he said, so for an hour for you, what can you earn in an hour? And the millionaire, the future millionaire said 500. He said, cool. So, and the title of the video was cutting your own grass is costing you 500 an hour. So, and he said that he was talking to this billionaire in his 20s. This was back in the 80s. Cause the guy was, I think the guy was in his 50s, and the billionaire asked me, what are you doing right now? Do you cut your own grass? He was like, yep. He said, well, how much would it cost to have somebody else do it for you? And he said, I don't know, like $15 an hour. It's because it was back in the 80s. That's what I charged in the 80s to cut grass. And he said, well, there's your problem right there, is that needs to be delegated. So can you tell me that you would be cool with getting your $4.85 an hour to get somebody else to cut your grass? And I love to do this. I went to the comment section and guess what I saw? All the naysayers. This is stupid advice. Da 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 da. And nobody can do this. Yeah, then you're going to have this and that. And it's like, you guys just don't guys just don't fucking get it. It's like, in for me, I can do, because it's not the 80s, I can do about 1,200 in an hour if I'm lucky. If somebody says, yes, I want to buy from you. Mm. You know, anywhere from 1,200 to 2,500 or whatever. So I'm a bad example because I refuse to live anywhere near grass because I hate cutting grass. It's the opposite of janitorial. I love being a janitor. I hate fucking cutting grass. I hate it. But if I could pay someone $100 to cut my yard, if I had a yard, to make 1,100 instead of 1,200, I would damn sure do it. And it's the broke mentality. You can tell when somebody's got a broke mentality. They go into everybody's thing. A good example, since you brought up Craig Ballantyne, is his BFF Bedros. So Bedros is worth about $300 million. He has all kinds of business. He has like, I don't know, like 9 different businesses. And he has a program to help men get better. And it's called The Project. And he takes men. You got to be, a lot of times he'll do one where you got to be married, you got to have a business, you got to be making $250 a year, you know, whatever. And it costs like, he just upped it. It used to be $50,000 a year to work with Bedros. Now it's $100,000 a year because he ain't fucking around. So, but that's for a year. You take, if you make $200,000 a year and you take $100,000 a year, you still got $100,000 a year to live until you get through this thing. And he's going to ensure that you make millions. And I've talked to a lot of guys. I have a lot of friends on Instagram that I've talked to who have worked with him. We follow each other, who have done this and have gotten phenomenal results because he knows how to grow businesses. This is what he does. So he has all these haters for the program. It's a 75-hour project run by him, a Navy SEAL, a Marine. I can't remember what the other guy is. But military people are literally involved. So they believe in the project. All the haters are saying, oh, $12,000 is too much money. $12,000 is too much money. How broke are you? You know, I hate to be that guy, but $12,000 is too much to earn millions, to learn how to earn millions. This is a life-changing event that you sign up for, you pay for, you have instructors, you have paperwork, you have all this stuff they put all together. Why would they do it for free? And you have, my favorite comment is, just join the military. Okay, first of all, that's a 4 to 8 year commitment. Second of all, you might get shot at, especially with everything going on right now in America. And third of all, and most importantly, some of these guys are in their 40s and 50s. You can't fucking join the military. So they don't think, they just bring their broke mentality into every single thing that they do. They just scroll all day and just find things to troll. And it's the most outlandish. Instead of like doing like you did, doing like a lot of guys do, finding a mentor. A lot of times you can find a mentor for free. I got a free one. I got a guy that I train. He's like, I'm going to tell you for free. He's a 3-time tech entrepreneur. He worked for Google. He's the guy, asshole. He's the guy, his company, if you have music playing in the background on Facebook, on a Facebook video, it shuts down, it mutes. He's that asshole. Super cool guy. He was one of the Napster people, shut Napster down. So, I mean, you know, big name guy, he knows what to do. Yeah. And he'll start a company, sell it to Google, start a company, sell it to Facebook. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to tell you for free. Don't worry about it. I got sales copy. I got a whole 9 yards. And it's like, all right, cool. I'm hanging out with millionaires. And I got millionaires mentoring me. So it's, you know, you gotta network, you gotta talk to people, you gotta figure out what it is you wanna do. Even if you don't know what to, like you said, even if you don't have an idea, you gotta find somebody who can help you generate something. But people just, and it's men, it's all men. We all know that women don't have to do that 99 times out of 100. They can just show up, sell pictures of their feet, and everything's good. But with guys, it's like you literally have to put in that work. You know, you can't lip sync on TikTok, bruh. You got to put in some kind of work, have some kind of idea, something like that, you know?
Yeah, that is I think that's one of the biggest kind of lies that men are indoctrinated with from an early age for at least the last like 40 years is like men and women are the same. Men and women are like this idea of, or at least they're not taught that men and women are different. And So you got a young man walk through life, because we live in a society that is kind of engineered around the female perspective. You know, it's like emotions first before facts and logic, you know, like how does everything make you feel? And because of that, you get all these young men who are brought up in this environment who are kind of walk through life expecting things to just magically happen for them. This basically the same way a woman lives their life. Like life just happens to women, you know, they, and it's because they have the ultimate currency, which is beauty, which is basically a vagina. It's like ultimately the and I don't say this, I'm not trying to say this in a derogatory way, but like that's the thing that runs the world. Like everything men do is basically in the pursuit of money and power so that they can get vagina ultimately. Like it's kind of how everything's run. And it has been like that since the dawn of time. Like everything we've done, wars have been fought, like conquered lands for access to women, right? So it's like cool. But when young men walk through life or are raised to think that their life experience is going to be in any way comparable to a woman's, they're setting themselves up for failure and they're setting themselves up for frustration. Men have to fucking work. They have to put the hard yards in. It's not like these young men who like, you know, okay, they're a millionaire and they're like 18, they're 18, 19, 20. They're some fucking rapper or some athlete or some shit. That is such an exception from the rule. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
People, but that is what's thrust in everyone's face all the time. And it's unfortunate because like that is, you're being presented with a reality that is really not possible for most people. And you shouldn't even be going after it. You should be focusing on, all right, well, what can I fucking build that's going to allow me to be like the shit by the time I'm in my 30s? I've got everything handled, because that's realistic. And I'm not normally a fan of like being realistic, but for most guys, that's a far better path.
Yeah.
And don't expect as soon as you kind of accept the fact that you have to work as a man, like that you kind of never get to take any time off in a way, like you always have to be on. Like that's a kind of a jarring concept for most young men to accept to start with. But once you do accept it, it's actually fun. I'm going to say that. It's like, I like the challenge. Like the idea of me making my first $1 million is like fucking exciting. And oddly enough, every day I wake up and I'm not a millionaire, I'm angry.
Right.
So it's a fuel that it's a fire that burns me. You know, every day I wake up and I don't have like 20 sons, I'm angry. I'm like, I need a genetic legacy. This shit. Every day I wake up and I don't have a goddamn castle with a pack. Like this is the goal I tell everybody. My goal is to have like a fucking castle with a pack of attack dogs, a bunch of horses, trained horses, and at least 6 wives of 20 sons. That is a very unrealistic goal, but it's my goal nonetheless. And it's like, okay, every day I wake up and I don't have that, I'm fucking angry. Let's move. Yeah. Let's work.
Yeah.
And that is a far better like motivator.
Right.
Than like, oh, I'm going to sit around and life's going to magically happen to me and I'm just going to make it rich and get lucky. And you see this all the time in fucking Hollywood and LA, like people who come to LA and they're like, I'm going to be a social media influencer. I'm going to be a TikTok celebrity or whatever the fuck. It's like, really? Like, come on, learn to add some fucking value. And the example you gave is a perfect one of like, pretty girl can like just lip sync on TikTok and bam, she's got like 100K subs within like a month. My TikTok, I had to put in like, I fucking hate TikTok, by the way. Just want to put it out there. It's cancer. but I had to put, you know, I had to put in like, you know, a good month's worth of work filming content, like scripting it out, filming it, like making sure I'm delivering good stuff, editing it, like get the lighting good. And then we schedule it out. And I'm like, that took months and I'm at like 90K. I'm like, hooray.
Right.
And then I get all these dorks in my goddamn comment section being like, what do you know, man? Like, dumbass, I'm literally a porn star. You think I don't know how to give advice about bedroom stuff?
Right.
Anyway, but those are the same guys critiquing, like the same guys who have enough time in the day to scroll through every one of my TikToks and in the comments and give their two advice. What are you doing with your life?
Right.
You know, it's like one really good piece of advice I got early on in my life was focus on being a producer, not a consumer.
Right.
If you are producing content like we're doing right now, for example, mm-hmm. you don't have time to consume it. I used to like, and I'm friends with Rich Cooper. I'm friends with Rollo Tomasi. I used to watch their show all the time. But since I created my own damn YouTube channel, I ain't got time to watch all their shit. Like, I'll catch bits and pieces of it, or I'll have it playing like in the background to like help the algorithm, help boost their channel and stuff, because they're my guy. Mm-hmm. But I don't have time to consume it all. I used to have time to consume it all.
Right.
Because surprise, surprise, I wasn't making enough money back then.
Yeah.
But now when you're a producer, that's where like the money goes to everyone who produces. So like that one little switch will save a lot of guys. Like, produce more than you can consume. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're sitting around watching like, I don't know, if you're watching like how to get rich videos, or if you're watching like how to pick up women videos on YouTube, for every hour of content you consume, you must take 2 hours of action. That's a good starting point.
Oh yeah.
Like, if I want to sit down and watch like an hour long video on like how to, I don't know, start a real estate empire. Okay. Now I'm going to spend 2 hours looking at properties or whatever.
Right.
That's a good way of breaking the cycle of being a consumer, which is what the world, like I said before, the world just engineered to make men into these like tax slave consumers, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to find a way to break out of it. And that is a good benchmark, a good little rule of thumb for starting the breaking out process.
Yeah. Yeah. And you touched on so many good points there. It's the crazy thing about the dichotomy of men is that our lowest value as perceived is the fact that we can impregnate 5 to 10 women in a day if we had to. And that, isn't it funny how a woman only being able to get knocked up once in a day, she's higher value. But at the same time, our highest value is the fact that we can knock up 5 to 10 women in a day and create a legacy. Because, and that's the whole dichotomy of it. It depends on how you look at it. It's, you know, the truth is always somewhere in the middle, but you can either look at that as low value. If you're a feminist, men are worthless, we don't need you, or we really need them to start the empire. But the fact of the matter is worse men are being created. And I think that the biggest thing is the fact that we don't have, what do you call it? Initiation rituals for boys anymore. The Spartans, here's your stick. There's the door. You're going to run into some snow. You'll be all right. When you see the wolf that tries to eat you, you've gone as far as you need to. Best of luck. See you in 7 days. Yeah. We don't have that anymore. We don't have boys, you know, hitting puberty, going to the shaman, and the shaman doing the thing, and you're going out there and you come back and you're like, fuck, that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever done. I had to hold my intestines in, but dad, I really appreciate that. Can we play basketball now? You know, whatever. And we don't have that anymore. We don't have it for women. We don't teach women how to be decent women and how to treat men. And we don't teach men, we don't teach boys how to grow into good men and how to treat women. And the big thing is that one of the worst things in existence is feminist men, because one, they can't fight, and two, they just orbit. They're the most, and feminist women let them come along because, you know, I'm friends with guys because there's less drama. So, you know, there's that. But they just orbit around, and of course they're going to be harmless, not going to be harmful, because they think that being nice will get them laid, when Chad is the one getting laid. And I've seen this happen. I've experienced it happen. It's nothing I'm proud of. I've had affairs. I'm not proud of it, but I have seen what happens. I have seen the mentality of... I really don't believe in human hierarchy. I don't believe in the whole alpha beta thing, simply because it's silly, because we don't fight for dominance anymore. If we did fight for dominance, I would believe in it, but we don't fight for pussy. We don't fight for food. We don't fight for any of it, because the government, who is oppressing at the same time, ensures that you don't have to. And I spoke about this a few weeks ago on Instagram about the dichotomy of freedom. Is that freedom, allows you to be free, but it also allows you to be soft. And that's the problem with men right now. They don't know how to talk to women. They don't know how to treat women. And, you know, you're going to run into red flags. You're going to be taking a risk. She has the ability, and, you know, feminist women will argue me into the dirt about this. I have this saying, you have kinetic energy and potential energy. Kinetic energy is energy in motion, and potential energy is the energy that has the potential to be in motion, hence potential. She may not leave you and take you for everything you're worth, but she definitely has the potential to do it. And as a guy, if you want to have a family, you know, you want to take that risk, you know, nobody's telling you not to, because the nuclear family, let's face it, would be great if we had that again. But the reality of it is we just don't. And men, especially in America, I'm guessing I'm right in saying especially in America, are catering to feminist women because they think it will get them laid. And it's destroying mankind. That coupled with the fact that we don't have initiation rituals, and that's just how it is, you know?
Yeah, we're missing the rite of passage has been long lost. And it's, and the thing that is tied into that, I believe, is we don't have, for want of a better term, we don't really have male-only spaces anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? So you used to have, like, gentlemen's clubs. You used to have, like, the Boy Scouts, mm-hmm. just for boys. You used to have, you know, various clubs and organizations and affiliations which were purely for the men. Now everything is infiltrated and must be both men and women, otherwise it's sexist.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a complete and utter load of horseshit. Like, mm-hmm. men have been, in the West, men have been systematically, like, isolated. Mm-hmm. By so many young men nowadays, especially through all this COVID bollocks, they're very, very isolated, and they're alone. They're isolated, they're alone, they're frustrated, they don't know what to do. They've got no path,
mm-hmm.
right? They've got no band of brothers, they've got no tribe, which is why they congregate online in communities like the Manosphere space, the Redfall space, whatever. That's why they seek these things out. Men naturally seek this stuff out.
Yeah.
Because the world tells them to be alone. The world kind of deliberately isolates guys and tells them not to get together in groups. But men, because men are far stronger in groups.
Mm-hmm.
That's precisely the reason why.
Yep.
Like, there's no single greater positive impact I've ever made in my life than living with another man who is on his mission as well.
Yep.
Because that energy of, even if it's just two of you, two dudes on a mission together, fucking both trying to make money, kick ass, you know, build a future. Even if not together, but like they're on parallel paths, just being around each other is fucking electric. And society tells you not to do that. Society tells you to, like, partner down and live with a woman and do all this sort of stuff or whatever, live with a girlfriend. And I'm not trying to shit on girls here, but, like, men and women have different energy, right? And
yeah.
when you're around women all the time, it's as a man, it can be kind of draining, and it disrupts your kind of natural polarity. But if you're around, like, your boys who are fucking about it, it accelerates you and it propels you. And that we used to know this. Look at all ancient societies. They all had a lot in common. They all had things in common. They all had initiation rituals for the boys. They all took the boys, turned them into men. They would learn from other men. They would be mentored by other men and apprenticed by the men. The women would do their thing, and they would come together to make families. They'd come together for for various reasons, but they're not around each other and mixed the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a taboo thing to say nowadays that we should have, like, male only spaces where young men can learn from other men, from more experienced, mature men, and learn how to be guys. Because you know, there's the old trope of, like, locker room talk. Like, guys can be honest around other men in a way they can never be when they're around women. Because, for the most part, when you're around women, there's always going to be some dude there who wants to try and fuck the chick.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that changes the way he talks. It changes the way he interacts with her. That the honesty is removed because there's an intention. There's an outcome he wants. But when it's just dudes being around other dudes, it's like, okay, now we can all be open and honest, and we can discuss and we can debate. We're not going to hurt anybody's feelings because we're going to we we are men and we understand that we can disagree with each other and not hate each other, right? That's how the West was formed. Like that's, right. that's how we built this fucking thing in the first place.
Yeah.
But we've isolated men so much. And I think that's, there's one thing that's going to, I mean, I'm not of the opinion that we can really like save the West at this point. It's kind of collapsing as we speak.
Yep.
But what I think is going to happen is you're going to see like communities of men form around the world in various like second and third world countries.
Yeah.
Of Western men who have basically said, fuck it, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Moving together in bands with other Western men and forming these little enclaves of like the remnants of traditional Western masculinity.
Right.
All around the world in countries where they're quite frankly just treated better than they are in the West. I mean, I know that's kind of my plan.
Yeah.
And I know that's the reason I see this as the future is because I've seen so many different men's groups and so many different people from varied backgrounds all kind of coming to that exact same conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to fucking the trope on Twitter is like, I'm just going to, I want to live in the woods with a cabin and fucking raise my family by myself.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really, I would probably not a great idea to do that in America. I don't think, I think there's better countries in the world to do that, but I think that's where we're going to head to. And then you have all these enclaves around the world of like smaller communities of like Western men trying to preserve that kind of culture. And then societies like America, Australia, England just start collapsing.
Yeah. From the inside out. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm looking at. I'm looking at being an expat because, you know, white people can't call themselves immigrants because it's, you know, racist. Yeah. We have to call ourselves expats. We have our own name.
We're colonizers. We're colonizers. Right.
We're colonizers because we just find brown people and stake them to death. I'm actually looking at, you know, options because I'm just getting started in my new endeavor. And in a year, I'm going to have a million years worth of income if I am in a different country, you know, like a Thailand or a Cambodia or something like that. So I've been looking at, you know, different options. You know, I wanted to buy land here in America because I mean, 4 acres, 20 grand, you know, you find this liquidated land and whatnot. And it's like, but do I really want to be here? And it's you go over there and these people are making $3 an hour. Mm. So you come over there and you're making $1,200 an hour. It's a completely different story altogether. And it's, I just don't, you know, like you said, I don't think it's going to recover. I don't think American men are going to stand up for anything. I mean,
well, they haven't.
No.
Even last year, look what's happened with all these regulations and masks and all this stuff. No one has like opposed it. And the reason they like, and this is like, this comes back to the point of like keeping men separate and not encouraging men to band together in groups.
Right.
You had like you had a dozen strong men, this shit, like who'd been together like this entire time, this shit would be done.
Yep.
This would be that. It wouldn't take that much. Like, imagine that. Like a dozen men just fucking traveling around America, like deliberately disobeying.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you don't want to fuck with deliberately disobeying. You don't think that's going to convince a few people,
right?
You know, you don't think that's going to make a few people be like, you know what, this is actually a whole bunch of crap. We shouldn't be doing this. You know. But 2 weeks to slow the spread has somehow turned into 2 years. Mm-hmm. 2 years and how many jabs? I don't know now. But it's a perfect example of like what's the opposite word for like coming together? I can't, my brain is escaping me, but how disjointed, discombobulated we are
as
Western men. Right now.
Yeah.
There's no unifying purpose and mission, primarily because we've been taught that like white dudes are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's the narrative. It's like, when white guys get together, they do evil things like colonize or something.
Exactly.
And it's like, forget the fact that our ancestors like built the modern world. Forget that. Forget the fact that like every single, like all of the systems and processes and engineering, et cetera, that is used all over the world comes from like Anglo-Saxon heritage, basically. Mm-hmm. forget that. Forget that. We're all evil, right? So when you convince young men when you embed this like shame and guilt into them from a very, very young age, it's real fucking easy to control them. Real easy.
Yeah, that's the issue with public schools right now. Is I wouldn't have my kid in public school. There's absolutely no way. It's a matriarchy. You know, that hierarchy I do believe in is the matriarchy. That shit's real. You know, and all these feminist girls complaining about the patriarchy and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's funny, I said something a few weeks back about basically what we were talking about, you know, how women have it easy. And this feminist girl who happens to follow me, she said, you know, I had to work three times as hard to get to where I am in the corporate world. And I'm like, hold up, bro. Like nobody forced you into corporate world. Like I'm not condoning that you get naked. Here's the deal. You ain't even got to get naked. You ain't got to show your face. You don't have to do anything. You can just show your body and make like six figures a year. Nobody, I'm not condoning it, but you don't have to. Nobody forced you. Women, responsibility and accountability are kryptonite to women. Absolute kryptonite. And feminists love to take everything that happened to them and they love to take the decisions they made and somehow blame them on the men. And it's always straight white men. And what's funny to me is, especially in America, is that everybody was so mad about, we're so sick of old white men making decisions, but you're not now. Yeah. What the fuck you got in office right now? And the crazy thing
he couldn't be more older.
He couldn't be more old and white. And the thing about, I don't know why abortion has made a comeback, but that's the, if you're white, but female, you at least have the being female. So you're not a minority. You're not black. You're not transgender. So you're not an actual minority, but you at least have the vagina. So you can get up there and it's like 100% of abortions are happen to women who didn't want to get pregnant, and 0% of abortions happen to conservative Republican men. I'm like, oh my God. This is why 21-year-old women don't need an Instagram or any kind of social media, because first of all, you know where babies come from. We're not living in caveman times. We discovered fire literally millions of years ago, and this whole thing has made a comeback because they discovered that that's the platform they can use. It's like men shouldn't determine what women do with their bodies. I say nobody should determine what anyone does with their bodies. And that's what we're going on. That's what's going on now with the whole jab. Yeah. It's they just literally last night, an old white dude who is, I don't give a fuck if I get shut down. I'm not even big enough to get shut down yet. Okay. There is a woman who thinks she's black working with a group of people to tell an old white man what to say to other people. And he said, federal employees must get vaccinated, and any business with 100 plus employees must get vaccinated. However, we are still a republic of states. So you can't federally mandate something quite yet. So I live in North Carolina, which is a blue state, unfortunately, but our governor, I think in an attempt to get elected, said, y'all just do what you want. I'm out. I'm finally out now. I went into Publix earlier to get me some beer, and I was the only one in there without a mask, and everybody was just staring at me, like looking at me. And it's like, bro, I'm immune. I'm like Wolverine. Get the fuck out my face. I don't care. I don't do it anymore. If they ask me to leave, I have Instacart. You know what I'm saying? But it's this mentality right now, of everyone just agreeing with everything the government's doing and letting the government control them. It's like when you're 18 years old, you're supposed to get away from mommy and daddy, and they're just looking for a new mommy and daddy. And I just don't understand it.
They're not going to, like, the government is not going to take care of you. Like, they do not have your best interest at heart.
Right.
I think you people need to really understand that. They want your tax dollars. They want you, and they want you to be an obedient slave, basically. Like, they don't have your best interest at heart. I mean, it's kind of ironic what you were saying before. The same women who will be like, "My body, my choice" when it comes to abortion, and now, "Your body is my choice" when it comes to being vaccinated.
Right.
The same people are trying to force that on everybody. It's the ultimate, and they can't see the irony. They cannot see it.
No.
But here's my opinion on the whole abortion thing, right? You cannot have, it doesn't make any logical sense for you to have, like, abortion rights. Have abortion, but you cannot have child support.
Right.
These two things cannot coexist in any way, because it doesn't make sense. Because if a woman has the right to abort a child, then she has 100% control over whether the child is born.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The man has no control, there's no choice, and no say over whether that child gets born. It's ultimately the woman's choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But she can have the kid, and then he can be forced to pay child support. So, like, you have to have one or the other. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, no abortions, and then mandatory child support for every kid that's born.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that. Or we have abortions and we have zero child support. But right now we've got this fucked up thing in the middle, which makes no sense. And basically means men get fucked over,
mm-hmm.
You know? So there's two things, but that is tying like authority with responsibility.
Yeah.
Can't have that. We can't possibly have, you know, women being responsible, having authority and responsibility. No, we have to give them the authority, and we have to give men the responsibility of looking after the kid.
That's right. Because 100% from what I've learned, 100%, I don't know how it is in the rest of the world. Y'all got to bear with me. 100% of pregnancies come from rape or incest. Nobody wants to talk about the others. It's like 1% is rape and incest. Can we talk about the 99? Oh, where are you going? Well, okay, cool. Yeah. Just like you said. And Dave Chappelle said it, my wallet, my choice.
Yeah.
You know, so rules for thee, but not for me. Yeah. It's always like that. But women are still, and we're not harping on women, guys. This is not.
I'm harping on the laws.
Like, right.
Like, you know, I expect like Tiger got stripes, man. I expect women to be women.
That's right.
I don't expect them to be something they're not. And that's important.
Right. Because that's right.
you give, like, give them an inch and they'll take a mile. So obviously they're going to take advantage. Like, if yeah, the laws are written in this retarded way, so of course they're going to take advantage of it. They're not stupid,
right?
I'm not. I don't feel bad. I'm not sitting here feeling like, mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, obviously, like, what's the problem? Isn't the women? The problem is that these laws are fucking retarded,
right?
The problem is that these laws don't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So like I said, like you have one or the other. It's kind of, you really got to pick and choose.
Yeah. I've seen I end up scrolling Instagram, and the algorithm is completely fucked at this point. So I end up scrolling Instagram, and you know, because of my 20s and like my late 20s, early 30s, I know who a few porn stars are. You know, I know a few. I haven't turned a blind eye. I just don't watch it anymore because it's boring. But it looks like this is something I don't understand. There are a lot of quote unquote liberal women in the adult film industry.
99.99%.
Yeah. So that's, you know, there's a couple, you know, and it always baffles me how women put themselves in a position to get objectified, and they get pissed off when they get objectified. And So there's two things. One, do you feel that they're going to force vaccinations in the industry? And two, do they know what you're about? Do they know you're a little bit on the other side of the fence? And how do they respond? Did the producers respond? How did the girls respond? Things of that nature.
They know I am on the other side of the fence, and they hate it. And and it actually cost me work. I'm not gonna lie, it cost me a lot of work. But I have, look, it's the thing. I've created my own like income from like YouTube and other things. Like now, right. I make good money from teaching guys how to prevent, you know, performance issues in the bedroom. From teaching guys how to lay pipe properly. I'm not going to try to toot my own horn, but I'm a very, very good teacher. Mm-hmm. I might not be I'm not the best porn star in the world. I'm not going to sit and pretend I am. I'm a mid tier male talent. Mm-hmm. Cool. That's me. Mm-hmm. I've won awards. Cool. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm the best male porn star on the planet, but I am a fucking amazing teacher. Mm-hmm. So that's, and I've taken advantage of that. And my client's testimonials kind of speak for that. But yeah. So that's fine. I can take the hit to like how many shoots I get, and I'm doing it fine. The vaccine, in regards to like, do you think the industry will mandate vaccinations? No, we get right now. I mean, ever since March of last year, we had to do like a 48-hour COVID test before every single shoot.
Okay.
We've been doing that for like the last year, year and a bit. So I don't think they're going to mandate like a jab within the industry. Probably because they don't mandate that you, they don't mandate a whole bunch of other stuff.
Mm.
Like we basically run off of like 14-day SDI testing.
Yeah.
You know? And there's like no mandate for girls to get like the, or girls or guys to get like the there's a vaccine that can help with, what is it? It's like, there's a bacteria that can lead towards cervical cancer, I think. And there's a vaccine you can get for that. They don't mandate that, you know? They don't mandate, I know at least in the gay side of the industry, they don't mandate PrEP and stuff like that because it's a very self-regulated industry. It's actually a very good example of self-regulation, if I'm being honest, the way we run. But I don't see them forcing it. There's enough, despite the fact that they're all really, really super liberal and left-leaning, there's elements of like rebellion in the adult industry, and there's enough, especially amongst the directors who are the like older male directors.
Yeah,
there's enough of those dudes around who are like, this is fucking retarded, that they wouldn't enforce it.
Yeah,
I think at least now. Maybe knock on wood. Maybe I'll be proven wrong in 6 months time.
Right. Yeah. When you got into the industry, did you see? Did it further educate you on the mentality of women and all the red flags and everything else? Yeah,
it educated me on like female entitlement. It porn kind of like ratchets women's personalities up. You know, it takes you know, they come in and it just dials it up to 11. So if she's like a kind of an infomaniac, it really amplifies that and it shows the best part of her. If she's a complete like narcissistic diva, it cranks that up to like 11, you know? And so it just exacerbates people's personalities because they're in the spotlight all the time. They're getting all this attention. They're getting all this focus on them. So it just amplifies whatever they already are, you know, I think. But it really sort of highlighted a couple of things, like a massive entitlement and a massive lack of accountability. I'll tell one interesting story. So I was dating this porn star really briefly, and so she went to go to this award ceremony. I didn't want to go to the award ceremony. I was like, nah, I'm going to go shoot content with this other girl.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting content basically means we fuck on camera and we film it and we sell it. Right?
Of course,
that's totally normal. So I grabbed my stuff from her apartment and I went off to this other girl's house. I actually stayed at the other girl's house that night. And I woke up the next morning to like all these texts on my all these tweets saying, "Oh, Sterling, what are you doing? What are you doing breaking into girls' houses now?"
Oh my God!
I'm like, "What? What the fuck is this?" And I look at her Twitter, and she tweeted something like, "Sterling Cooper broke into my apartment and took his to take his bag or something." This dumb bitch. When I left her apartment, I had my backpack on me.
Right.
I'm like, I'm going. And then she got back from this award ceremony, shit-faced drunk, basically, and thought that I had broken into her house because my bag wasn't there anymore. And it's like, and she went out and I messaged her the next day. I'm like, yo, what the fuck is this? Like, dude, I had a girl in the bed next to me who can verify the entire fucking story. So it's like, there's no, There's no like shadow of a doubt that's what happened. And I'm telling her this, and then she takes the tweet down. But like that, zero apology, zero accountability. Like she can, and this is the world they live in. They can say what they can, go on Twitter, say whatever the fuck they like.
That's it.
Like, all their hundreds of thousands of simply white knight followers will believe every goddamn word they say, despite any evidence to the contrary. And that tells you a lot about, it tells you a lot about women when they have power. When women have power like that, damn, man, don't, it is it's not a pleasant thing. They can be fucking ruthless with it. And it's like, yeah, no accountability, massive entitlement. And the slight, you piss them off, you face the full wrath of that vitriol. And then they direct their entire audience at it as well. Mm-hmm. So it really showed me that, it really emphasized like the lack of accountability and the level of entitlement that some of these girls can have.
Yeah. All they have to do, I know at least here, is that, if they get mad at their boyfriend or, you know, whatever, they just dial 911 and said, he beat me. They're not going to check for bruises. They're not going to care. They're just going to haul your ass off to prison. That's just how it works.
And I'll tell you a funny story about that. I was in the Ukraine with a few friends of mine recently, and we're having a party, and we invited some girls around. We met off Tinder or whatever. And I caught one of them going through my bag. Like, so she went upstairs in the mansion or whatever we were staying in, and I caught her like going through my bag looking to steal some shit. I'm like, all right, empty your fucking pockets. She didn't get anything. And then we kicked her and her friends out. And we called the cops on them or whatever. Because they wouldn't leave. So we had to call the Ukrainian police to come around and fucking get these girls out. And what happened in the Ukraine? These two cops like walked in, didn't even talk to us. They just nod, hauled their asses off. If that happened in America, we would have been the ones getting fucking handcuffed and questioned and dragged off. You know what I mean? And that's what I kind of I'm mentioning before when I said you'll see a lot of guys going where they're treated best.
Mm-hmm.
That's an example of like justice being served properly. And yeah, in America, in the West at least, this narrative is kind of flipped a bit, where like women are assumed to be these perfect innocent creatures who would never tell a lie. But dude, like Tiger got stripes. Okay, I'm not angry. Right. Like I know that women lie. I'm aware of this. I'm not naive. It's nature. Cool. That's what they do. I'm not sitting here getting mad and pissed and butthurt about it, but I don't expect them to be something they're not.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, I would like to see, I think a bit of common sense and a bit less naivety would be useful.
Yeah. I mean, here's the cool thing. It's like, we're not bashing women's reaction to life. It's like, here's the thing. Both genders, and if everyone who's listening hasn't already understood this, we're assuming genders. Both genders, your biology is tied into your psychology. So we do things based on how our biology dictates. And with women, they are looking for the ultimate Chad to have the ultimate Chad child. They want to get impregnated. Even when they're 50, 60, it's the same thing. It never goes away. The difference is they have a biological clock and we don't. And I understand why they're so angry. They hit menopause. They're angry. They're hot. They don't know why they're hot. Turn the fan on, all that kind of stuff. Working in the fitness industry was a nightmare because of this. And people have to understand that we're not bashing women. I don't blame women for their own biology. It's that they are looking for the one all the time. And there's always someone better. You can best believe that even though Elena Cardone has not left Grant, she sees some motherfuckers out there who could be a better fit. Dwayne Johnson's wife, same damn thing. I bet that motherfucker right there could give me something that Dwayne couldn't give me. And it ain't got to be but one thing. You could be homeless. If you're homeless, you may have one thing that the billionaire doesn't have, and that's what she wants. It's an impulse. Women live on impulses. Men have to accumulate multiple things to get them to get their hit. Women have to have that one hit. If you think about it, you know, men know if they want to fuck within like 2 seconds, you know, but women know if they want to marry this dude in like 2 seconds, even if he's homeless, eating a Big Mac that he found in the trash can, you know, and that's what people don't understand. It's like guys like us aren't bashing women. We're just telling you, hey, look, we're not calling you hoes. Sometimes we call you hoes, but we're not just assuming we'll call you a hoe. We're not just assuming that you're a hoe. We're just saying, hey, this is what you want. And we're not blaming you for it. You want the absolute best that you can possibly find. You want the most high value male that you can find because you want to make babies with him, even if you're 57. That's just how it is. And people, that's something that people don't understand about the manosphere. The manosphere that hasn't gone black pill, because a lot of the manosphere is black pill pretending to be red pill, pretending not to be blue pill. But they want the ultimate Chad. And that's the crazy thing about feminism, is that it's this day and time, people forget about human nature. They forget about the primal concept. Women still want a man who can provide and protect and create strong children. And they're telling you that that's not what women want. They want to be the CEO of a major corporation. Well, it doesn't behoove a woman to be a CEO of a major corporation. That's what the man does. And all we need, we need to be the CEO, and we need you to provide for us. Not provide. We need you to support us. And I tell women, ask me why I'm single. First of all, y'all are expensive. My male friends aren't expensive. My male friends, I just hang out. It's like, who's paying for this shit? It's like, oh yeah, we just go have an app. But what really irks them is that I tell them that I don't need anything from a woman outside of sex. This really pisses them off. And it makes them think I'm sexist, I'm misogynist, and I'm all this kind of stuff. And I am sexist and misogynist because I understand the gender roles. Again, I'm assuming gender. But there's nothing I need from a woman that I can't get from my male friends or myself outside of sex. And they don't understand this. And it's a difficult conversation to have. And what I do is I have it and I walk the fuck off. I say, I don't need you. Sex, that's it. And I walk off. And they wonder. It's like, hey, Why do you date younger women? Aren't you 42? Why would I pursue a 42-year-old woman when that's not the best baby-making woman? Like, I'm the best baby maker because I'm 42. I need me a 22-year-old if I'm going to start a family. And they get pissed off when I say, I don't want to think about kids until I'm 49. And they get pissed off because I can do that. Thank God. Yeah. I can do that. Yeah. You know? And It's a difficult conversation to have, especially in the industry I'm in, because I don't try to start this conversation. They start it with me. It's like, well, why do you date women so young? Because I'm not trying.
I can
and it's a good idea. Why would I try to have? I mean, in this day and time, I've known 40-year-old women who have had kids. Another one of my friends is 48 and she still has periods. Okay, great. She's the exception to the rule. Yeah. And we joke about it all the time. She's like, yeah, I'm 48. I can still have periods. Ha ha. I can still make babies. You know, and you know, it's a funny thing, but why would I pursue that when I don't have to? And it drives women crazy that we can make that decision. Like you're 34. Not going to lie. Thought you were in your 40s, but the only reason
I get that a lot.
The only reason is because you're extremely distinguished and you look like a young 45-year-old is what you look like.
So, I don't know whether to be insulted or complimented.
No, that's good. But even when you turn 70, when Sterling Cooper turned 70, he can still make babies. That's how it is. And it drives women crazy. And it's, and in a way you have to kind of feel sorry for them because they're running, they're trying to get on this campaign to bash men and say men are worthless. We're the exact opposite of worthless.
Yeah. I genuinely have a lot of sympathy for modern day women because they've been lied to just as much as dudes have been lied to.
Yeah.
They've been taught they can have it all. They can taught that, you know, they can start a family in their like mid to late 30s. I had this one friend back in LA. She was like 34 and she wanted to have kids. She didn't have anyone to have kids with yet, but she wanted to have kids. And she went into a fertility clinic, and they told her, "You have plenty of time." And when I heard her tell me that, I was like, "You've got to be fucking kidding me!" Like, I don't know how that doctor can sleep at night, telling a 34-year-old woman, "You have plenty of time."
Yeah.
But in reality, what's going to happen is she won't be able to get pregnant, and she's going to charge her $100,000 fucking dollars, whatever it is, for IVF. That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
That's why they're telling her that.
Yep.
And it's like it's a money maker. It's a business. It's all about money. It's business.
It is.
And there's a whole bunch of women who are going to hit. There's a whole generation of women who are going to be like, because dudes are kind of waking up more and more to this reality. There's a lot more dudes waking up, especially dudes who actually have value in the world. Guys who have money and have sat, like those guys are actually waking up to this. And those are the guys that all these women want.
Mm-hmm.
And these women, there's a whole generation of women in their 30s right now who are basically going to not have a family, and they're going to be fucking pissed about it.
Yeah.
Because dudes like us are like, well, I'll take the 18-year-old who's like feminine, obedient, right? Doesn't give me like, doesn't try to fucking fight me.
Right.
You know, she understands her role. Mm-hmm. She understands my role, and we make it work versus like the chick my age. Look, I'm going to have some fun with girls my age. Don't get me wrong. If I'll happily, you know, smash, but I ain't going to, we're not going to build anything together, you know? Because there's no future there. There's a future with like a younger chick.
Yeah,
she can have my baby. She can have family. You know.
Yeah.
And it's, and the other thing I've said is that like, because I want to, a woman's in my life, she needs to be a compliment to my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like a really, and she needs to add to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you said there's nothing. You said before there's nothing I can get from a woman that I can't get from my male friends other than sex. And I disagree with that slightly. I would say a woman can give you, like a woman can be a real asset to your life if you teach her how to. Because most women these days don't have a fucking clue how to be an asset to a man's life.
Yep.
All they know how to do is be a liability to a man's life.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to teach her. Look, hey baby, look, cook, clean, do my laundry, help me with this, schedule me some appointments here. Find me a new personal trainer. Find me this. Like she can add value to your life and be a compliment to it. But she has you have to teach a woman how to do this because the West they've been taught practically the opposite, you know. So it's doable, and it's good and it's nice to have a woman who's an asset to your life to add to make. She should give you pussy and peace. Is like an old phrase that people throw around. And the peace part of that is actually doing things for you and making your life smoother and easier. You know, and she does it for you because she fucking loves you.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. That's what feminists don't understand. They'll never understand it. That is a happy woman. That is a happy relationship dynamic. Mm-hmm. A woman who is basically like obsessed with her man and a man who is kind of like cold to her.
Yeah.
Is actually a really healthy dynamic.
Right.
And most people, you tell that to most people and they're like, oh, that's an abusive relationship. No, it's not fucking abusive, you dumb. She's extremely happy in that dynamic because women are not women don't think like men. They're not these perfect fucking fairy tale creatures that Disney and Hallmark movies make you think they are. And they think in a kind of retarded way.
Yep.
So you just got to understand, and again, tiger got stripes. That's their nature. Accept it. You know, once you understand it, stop trying to fight it.
Right. Because women want to fight for your attention. That's why they're on Instagram and TikTok and OnlyFans. That's what they want. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's just the most mind-blowing thing ever. But yeah, I absolutely agree. And my whole take on it, you know, saying what I said about, you know, I don't get anything from her. I'm so much of a loner outside of my male friends that it's like, don't touch my laundry. Don't touch my shit. Just don't touch my shit. Right. And I can make my own sandwich. I honestly can make, I'm a strong independent man. Don't need no woman. You know what I'm saying? I can make my own fucking sandwich. You're not going to make it right. You're just not gonna make it right. You know? And it's like with Andrew Tate, he was like, make the women cook. And he has the women in front of the grill. And it's like, bro, I'm not letting women anywhere near my grill. Like nowhere. No, I'm going to cook that. But that being said, how did you hook up with the Tate brothers?
How about a start? Me and Tristan followed each other on Twitter. Is how it started. Cause he was tweeting about the industry. Like a year and a half ago or something. He put out some tweet about the adult industry and I retweeted it and chimed in. And we sort of connected with who each of us were. We understood each other's experiences and our value. And I had him on my show, interviewed him. We got along really well. And then beginning of last year, I think it was. No, beginning of this year. Shit, was it this year? Damn, time flies. Yeah. They went out to Vegas for an event and Andrew and Tristan, I'd connected with both of them by then. And they invited me out to go meet them. And so I went out to Vegas, met them. Then we fucking hit it off. And then, yeah. And then we caught up again when they were in Miami. And then they invited me out to, we had a mutual friend's birthday party in the Ukraine. And we ended up hanging out in the Ukraine together. And then we all ended up going to Romania together and you know, saw their house and saw everything. Like, and anyone who thinks these guys aren't the real deal is fooling themselves.
Oh yeah,
they're I've seen everything. They're the real deal, man. I'm not not gonna fucking sit here and feed fantasies that they're not. Like, I've seen the women, I've seen the cars, I've been in the house, I've seen it all. It's all there. It's all legit. And they're genuinely like they're genuinely great men for like personal close friends now, and it's, you know, you don't have to love them. Like, they can be they rub some people up the wrong way. I get it. They're bombastic. They're like, you know, that's kind of the brand.
Yeah.
And, but you, one thing people can, you don't have to like a man to respect him. I mean, I like and respect them. I'm just saying that, but you don't have to like a man to respect him, you know, like, and you don't have to like a guy to learn something off of him.
Right.
If there's a guy who knows something you don't, if there's a guy who's getting something, who's got some experience in the world that you don't, even if you don't like him, maybe he knows a fucking thing or two that you don't, and you might be able to learn off the guy.
Right.
You know?
And
that's what I'll say with, like, when I get all these, like, all the vitriolic white knight simpy fans from all the girls on Twitter that don't like me anymore, all my former work colleagues in the porn industry. Well, look, man, you might not like me, but I can teach you how to lay pipe properly. Right. I can teach you how to do all this shit. You don't have to like me, but I can teach you all this stuff. So fucking, why not take advantage of it?
Yeah. What's some of the various things that you teach men as far as, you know, sexual health and, you know, men's improvement from both a sexual standpoint and an overall standpoint?
I primarily focus on the sexual stuff because it's my wheelhouse. Like, when I go on interviews and stuff, I can talk about damn near anything like we have today. But my wheelhouse and what I'm really good at teaching guys is well, one, how to prevent things like performance anxiety, how to prevent things like premature ejaculation, how to prevent things like erectile dysfunction, how to prevent things like delayed ejaculation. These are the four key problems that most guys tend to face in the bedroom. And there's a lot of tools and tricks I've picked up in the adult film industry, in my career as an escort, that I can apply and I can teach any dude to copy. You know, it's not a job, like, porn isn't a job that anybody can do. It does require like kind of an extreme person.
Yeah.
But there are still tools of the trade that we use, like psychological hacks, like biohacks, exercise regimes, these sort of things that help us do our job properly. So I teach guys a bunch of that stuff. And then I also teach them, like, okay, like, here's the best way to, like, eat pussy. Here's the best way to get a girl off with a vaginal, best way to get a girl a vaginal penetrative orgasm. Here's how you come across as more dominant in the bedroom. Here's how you can go from being a guy who's kind of vanilla and tame to being a guy who's more dominant and really, like, really fires her up and gets into her psyche and like gets her really excited. You know, there's a lot to sex, and I'm vehement about the fact that sex is a learnable skill, just like anything else. No one is born like really good at sex. Nobody. It doesn't happen. It's impossible. Every virgin is shit in bed. All of them. You know, every female virgin I've ever been with, totally shit in bed. I know I was shit in bed when I was a virgin. Like it's inevitable. But with accumulating experience amongst different women, there's a thing or two. You start to see patterns. You know, I've been with quite a number of women in various different circumstances, both professional and non-professional, etc. And so you start to recognize patterns. You start to see things that work across consistently across damn near every woman. You know, and that's what I try to teach dudes. My YouTube channel, there's a ton of free advice on there for guys. They can pick and choose. Pardon me. They can pick and choose through all the different clickbaity, hilarious titles we've decided to use on my YouTube channel. But then obviously I have a few courses and things that I sell where I really like lay down the absolute nuts and bolts and go into real extreme detail. And I even do with my, I have a video course where I literally like am having like real penetrative sex on camera and demonstrating and breaking down exactly what I'm doing. And it's the note, and I'm very proud. I'm actually very, very proud of that. It's the world's, I consider it the world's only no bullshit sex education course for men. Because dudes, like, sex ed is something that fucking just is glossed over. And it's something that is, like, the only place that guys can go to get any advice on this is, like, oh, fucking Cosmo article, which is written by some dipshit intern who doesn't fucking know what he's talking about, you know? So it's like, okay, well, here's a guy who actually fucking knows what he's talking about and can teach it. And is not, and more importantly, because I'm red pilled, I'm not going to fucking beat about the bushes. I'm not going to frame it in a way that's like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend women aren't perverted. I'm going to tell you, look, women are kinky bitches. They're perverted. They like you to kind of manhandle them. They like this stuff. It taps into deep dark psychology, and I think that's where a lot of dudes kind of. I get a lot of guys emailing, messaging me saying they're like hesitant and afraid to lead and be more dominant in the bedroom, primarily because of the whole Me Too movement. By the way, that's a big one. That's intimidated a lot of dudes, even though they don't necessarily need to be intimidated by it. But it has intimidated a lot of men in regards to being more dominant and assertive in the bedroom, which is ironically making women's sexual experiences worse. Right. They're fucking themselves over. They're like, they're scaring the crap out of all the dudes, and the dudes aren't fucking them right. So it's like, oh, well, you made your own bed, now you got to lie in it. So I'm trying to fix that. doing God's work.
Right, exactly. It's like men are angry because they're retaining their seed, and women are angry because they're hating men. It's like there was I'm dating myself. This was not literally dating myself. You know, that was kind of weird. I'm dating myself in age. There was an episode of Blossom back in the day where Joey's dad, it's funny how Joey Lawrence's characters are all named Joey, but Joey's dad was talking to him and he said, men are saying that they're having sex when they're really not. And women are saying when they're not having sex when they really are. And he's like, well, how the hell does anybody get laid? Yeah. And that's exactly what's going on now. It's like men, like you said, men are absolutely terrified of approaching women. Like I can stay home and just do it myself if I don't go to jail. I'm cool with that because I don't want to catch a court case. And women are just so, oh yeah, you're right. Men are terrible. We'll just, you know, stay home. And I had a girl tell me recently, you know, back to the whole, I get what I get from my male friends, and then I get what I get from my women. And she's like, well, women are the same way. And that was just a retort. That's all it was. She actually believed that. And it's like, you're going to end up 40. She was 31. You're going to end up on Twitter the same way. You're going to get tired of your hand like the 18-year-old boy does. But the difference is he's still got 40 years left and you don't, you know, that sort of thing. But how long did it take you, would you say, to develop the experience, you know, inside of the industry and outside of the industry, to be able to teach people, hey, this is how certain things need to be done. And what were some of the circumstances that, you know, allowed you to get to that point where you could say, hey, you know what? I can really, really teach guys how to be better in bed, how to be better men, how to be better at this whole, you know, sexual game.
You know what? It was when I first started shooting pornography, right? Back in Australia, I had a basketball team I was playing for at the same time as well, right? Just an amateur thing. And I remember teaching some of the guys in my basketball team, like a trick or two, just, you know, just shooting the shit after the game, like having a laugh. And I was like, oh, try this thing, try that thing. And then like the next week, the guy comes back to me and he's like, dude, my fucking missus, like she fucking loved it. Thanks, man. And that was my first like inkling. Because I'd done work as an escort before that for a while. Mm-hmm. Like obviously I had more experience there. And even before that, I was in the swingers scene as a single dude, mm-hmm. you know, fucking doing parties and orgies and shit. So I had all this experience even prior to getting into porn. But then I shot my first porno and I gave him that advice and I heard that feedback and I was like, huh, it's interesting. Like I thought every dude knew this. And like, turns out they don't. And then I just started getting more and more like DMs, emails from dudes following me on Twitter, following me on Instagram or whatever. Like, hey man, I'm struggling with this. Do you have any advice? Yeah, try this thing, try that thing. And I just started accumulating all this. I started realizing what like the common problems guys were having was. And it didn't. Yeah. I mean, like ended up shooting porn for like what, 4 years now, but it was only like about a year and a half ago. I started to realize, you know what? Like there's dudes who are, I sympathize with guys, man. Like I'm fortunate. I'm very, very lucky to be where I am. I'm blessed to have had the life I've had, but I sympathize with guys, and a lot of dudes have trouble. A lot of dudes are struggling with this sort of stuff. So whenever I kind of got a soft spot for it. Whenever a guy reaches out to me, and he's like, hey man, I'm struggling with this thing. I want some help. I want to help him, you know, but I don't have the time to help everybody, you know, which is unfortunate, but it was, I guess it didn't take it. Basically, once I started I always had doubt. I had a bit of doubt. I'm like, do I really know how to teach this? Do I really know what I'm talking about? And then when I started teaching dudes and I started seeing their results, I'm like, oh, I guess I fucking do, don't I? Turns out I really do. I started saying, you'll just look at my Twitter feed, man. I got like testimonial after testimonial after testimonial on my Twitter feed from dudes who just like watched my shit and then go on and applied it to their lady friends. And they're just like blown away. And the best testimonials are always like on my TikTok when I have girls being like, yes, more of this. This guy knows what you're talking about. Pay attention, men. Blah, 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 blah. So it's funny because TikTok is like 50-50 guys and girls, but my YouTube is all dudes.
Right.
And it's like I'm teaching all the stuff mostly on my YouTube, but then my TikTok followers like are like kind of verifying this shit. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. What kind of big shit you got coming in the future?
What do you got coming up? I've got a dirty talking course I need to be dropping before the end of this year. That's the plan. Probably looking at might be looking at relocating. We'll see. I'm thinking about making some moves in Europe, in Eastern Europe. We'll see. We'll see where I end up in the next 12 months. I might be making some big changes, but for now, focusing on building up the YouTube channel, getting that cranking along. Want to make it to the 100K subs before the end of next year. It'll be a nice little plaque.
I gotta have the plaque. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta have the plaque.
And then you gotta make a video about the plaque.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we focused on that for a while. And releasing a couple more courses over the next 6 months. That's basically the plan for the time being. Yeah.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing all of it. So before we wrap it up, where can everybody find you? YouTube, Instagram, any social media, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, YouTube. My YouTube's the best place. Just go to Sterling, just type in Sterling Cooper and my channel will come up. Sterling. My Twitter is at Sterling Cooper X. I'm shadow banned, so you have to type it in. I'm search suggestion banned. So you have to type my name in exactly and then click on it. Mm. And then it'll take you to my page. Mm. Hooray. Instagram. I made it. Yay. My Instagram is at Cooper Sterling. And you can see basically just behind the scenes into my average unique life on Instagram there. But if guys want help, the guys want advice, The best place is my YouTube.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to seeing what you do in the future. If you are a guy, and maybe if you're a girl, get out there and follow the guy, because you're going to get some grade A advice about, you know, personal improvement, especially from the male sexuality standpoint. And so for myself, Jason the Argonaut, and my good friend, the James Bond of adult films, Sterling Cooper, wishing you all safe and happy travels. See you soon.